Pastor Ryan a hand as he comes up and shares.
Hey, it's good to be with you. Can you hear me? Well, happy Father's Day. Would all the fathers stand up? All the dads, would you all stand up? Yeah. Give him a hand. Happy Father's Day, dads. Well, this morning, my dad is not here. Neither is my mom. They're taking the day off, and I'm glad that they are. Several years ago, my mom had faced breast cancer, and after that had happened, my dad said, every birthday that you have, we're going to go do something awesome together. And yesterday was her birthday, so they're off doing whatever they're doing, and I'm glad they are. My mom just turned 65. I know she looks like she's 40. And I'm thankful for my mom and also for my dad. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I hope you have a great day. And my dad has been such a blessing to so many. So many call him a father. He's a father to so many. And I'm blessed to be raised by my dad. And I'm thankful that he chose to follow Jesus and commit his life to him. And he's changed my life because of that. I know I wouldn't be here. My brother said to me a couple weeks ago, and he said it perfect. He said, Ryan, can you imagine you and I if we didn't have Christ in our life? And my response to him immediately was, no, I can't even fathom our lives. We would be even crazier than we already are. I'm thankful for the impact that our Heavenly Father has made on our lives, discipling us, changing us, and just giving us a new life. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? So today we honor all the dads, but in particular, Dad, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, have a great time. Have a ball. Take Mom and buy her something nice. Amen, ladies. I've been fathered by many people in this place, many, many fathers. I've told stories, and I'm so thankful for all the dads that have taken the time and given me the grace to grow. How many of you kids just are thankful for the grace to grow, that you didn't get held by one action or one thought or one deed, but God gave you grace and mercy? And I want to be a dad. I want to be a friend. I want to be a mentor that loves people beyond their mess up, that loves people beyond their hiccup and their problem. And I think you do as well. I think we should be known as a place that forgives quick, that when people get off the collar and say, how many of you know people say crazy stuff sometimes that they don't mean? They get mad and they say things that really they don't mean to say. But I want to be a people, I want to be a person, I want to be a minister that just says, hey man, we've all been there, let's move forward together. Amen. And that's what this place is. That's what this place is all about, is about growing together. And I could tell you 100 Father's Day stories. You know, our Wednesday night men's meeting, many fathers. I think Grandpa Chuck would be the oldest dad there. Is he 82 or 83? They're not back there, but I think he's 83, 82. And Grandpa's there. And then my son, Andrew, who's over here on the camera, he's there at our Wednesday night. So we're all growing together. And in those meetings, if you could only hear some of the stuff that's talked about and processed through, and there's people that are older that have just been introduced to Christ that are asking all kinds of questions. And I'm just so thankful, again, to be a part of a body that moves people forward, that loves on people no matter where they're at and what stage of their walk that they're on. And today I'm also thankful to be a dad. I'm not going to say too much about it because I've already done my crying. I cried last night when my boys gave me their cards, and I don't want to get into it again, okay? And so I'm thankful for Andrew, and I don't know where Ryan is. Oh, Ryan's up in the sound booth serving. I'm thankful for two young men that never give me a hard time coming to God's house. Ryan meets me at the back door early in the morning on Sundays, and always grabbing my stuff together, my Bible, all my things, getting in the truck, making sure I have everything ready to go to come in here and minister the gospel. And Andrew the same, always willing to lend a hand and make sure that the Lord's house is prepared. Amen. I'm done. Romans, I want to, yeah, I'm thankful. My heart is grateful. This week, I participated in a funeral here at the church. I didn't share this in the first service, but I just felt the Lord prick my heart to a young man, 40 years old, went on to be with the Lord. And why do you share that? Because hug on your dad today. Hug on your family. Hug on your kids. And, you know, show that gratitude. As I finished the funeral, I had made my way out to the front with the casket, and the gentleman's wife came up to me and grabbed me on the arm and said, "Hey, I want to just say that I'm very thankful for the City Church and St. Anthony's family. A year ago when COVID started, that young man began to view the services online and gave his heart to Christ as a result of it. So don't ever think that what you do doesn't matter. Don't think that, oh, does my giving matter? I just don't have much to give. Your giving matters. You matter. What you bring to the table matters. The person you smile at, the person you encourage, the person that you tell that you love them, you matter. You make a difference in the Lord. When you hand out a cup of coffee to somebody, you're doing God's work, and God in heaven looks down and he smiles at you and he says, "Hey, man, well done. You did a good job today." So I'm thankful. But how many of you know this morning, as I jump into this, you know this portion of Scripture, and you've heard it read in church many times. And this morning, I pray that it ministers to you the same way as we build a foundation this morning on God's Word. Romans 3:23 says these words. It says, "We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." How many of you know that portion of Scripture? We've all sinned. At our worst moments, we've been embarrassed by the things that we've said, the things that we've done, the engagement maybe that we've had with some people. We lost our temper. We stepped out of the promises and the plan for God in our lives. We've all fallen short. I just want to remind everybody, every minister, every dad, every mom, every child, you might say today, "Man, this is a hard day for me. My dad was this and my dad was that." And as I talk to people leading up to Father's Day, you have young men and young women that are literally brokenhearted. They're brokenhearted by what's happened and what hasn't happened and who was there and who wasn't there. But I want to remind you, I want to just sow a seed into your heart with all the kindness and with all the empathy that I can to tell you that every person on the face of this planet has fallen short of what God had intended for their lives. But he still loves them. And this morning I want to tell you, every McDonald in this place has fallen short. Every person that knows every scripture and knows their Bible and has all kinds of religious dogma, every single person in this place has a defect. They have sin that they're dealing with. If I put your thoughts up on that big screen, you'd kind of wiggle in that seat you're sitting in right now. Can I get one amen in here? We've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glory. We are wrapped in flesh. And what I'm not doing is I'm not saying to be proud of it. I'm not saying to wave a flag and say, "Hey man, this is the area of my sin and I'm proud of it." But what I am saying is to be proud of the grace that God has given not only you, but me, the guy that's standing up here talking about. We can be proud of the grace that God has given us, that even though we mess up, that even though we have a hiccup, we can move forward. God has given us the grace to grow. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, as we minister your word, as we encourage, as we give hope this morning, Father, that your Holy Spirit would rest on this place. It would rest on a family. it would rest on a dad, on a mom, on a son, and on a daughter this morning, that your word, Father, always goes forth and it accomplishes what you've called it to in a life. So this morning, that's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard a story. I thought it was a cute story, and there's a lot of principles in it that you can pull out. But there's a story of a cruise liner jet and also a fighter jet flying next to each other. You've all seen pictures like this, haven't you? You've all seen these pictures where a fighter jet and a cruise liner are flying next to each other. And the story goes this way, that this fighter jet pulls up next to this cruise liner, and the two pilots are having this dialogue, some thousands of feet in the air. Even the sight of those jets makes me a little uneasy. I'm not a guy to jump right on a plane. I got to kind of build up to it a little bit. Anybody else like that? And they begin to have this dialogue, this pilot between this cruise liner and this fighter jet. And the dialogue goes like this. The fighter jet pulls up. He goes, "Hey, man, well, how you doing today?" "Doing great. Smooth air. Good flying." And the fighter jet says to the cruise liner pilot, "Hey, I wanna show you what I can do. I wanna show you some stuff here." And he kicks on the afterburners and he begins to fly and he begins to twist and up and down and back and forth, and my stomach gets knotted up talking about it. And he does all this stuff, and then he circles back around behind the cruise liner, and he gets up behind him, and he can still communicate with that cruise liner, and he says these words, "I could shoot you out of the sky right now." He pulls up next to the cruise liner, and he's, "Hey, man, what'd you think of that?" And the cruise liner pilot says, "Man, that was amazing. That was totally awesome. Man, that was incredible. I've never had that experience. Thank you so much for showing me that." And the cruise liner gets done saying, "Man, that was awesome." And he says these words. He says, "I want to show you now what I can do with this cruise liner. You want to know, don't you?" And the fighter pilot says, "Yeah, absolutely. I want to see what happens." So they're cruising along, 2-3 minutes go by. The fighter jet pilot's like, "Dude, what's this guy doing? There's no movement. He hasn't turned. He hasn't done a thing. He's just cruising along." 5 minutes goes by, gets on the radio, and the co-pilot answers for the pilot. And the co-pilot says, just give him a minute. He'll answer you in just a second." The fighter pilot is getting increasingly irritated because men have all kinds of patience, right? And he says, after about 10 minutes, the pilot jumps back on and I'm here. And the fighter pilot, irritated, says, "I don't understand. What did you do?" He says, "Well, this is what I did." He said, "I got up. I put the plane on autopilot." He says, "I went back into the back of the jet." He said, I went to the bathroom. I got a cup of coffee. I said hi to my wife's on the plane. I said hi to my wife, and I'm seated back, and I have a tray, and I'm actually eating a nice dinner up here. That's what I accomplished." Isn't that great? And the fighter pilot says, "Oh, you know, that's nothing compared to what I did." And the cruise liner pilot said, that's everything compared to what you did. I can do that at any time." He goes on to say to the fighter pilot, he says, "I have enough fuel on this plane to carry me to another continent without stopping." And he says, "How's your fuel levels?" The fighter pilot says, "Oh, I got to get back. I'm just about out of fuel." The point of that story, many points in that story, but the point of that story is that in some area or another, no matter who you are, no matter whether you're the most athletic man or the most intellectual man, the most brilliant man, the hardest working man, in some area of your life, you've all been around men that the minute they get in a social setting, that the minute they get around people, they want to point out what everybody else can't do and what they can do. I always find it somewhat interesting. We'll be in social settings and I'll say to my wife, "Man, I absolutely stink at that right there. I couldn't do that. If you held a gun to my foot, I could not run 17 miles before sunrise. I just couldn't do it. But there are always things in our lives where we just fall short of the mark. There are certain areas, if we're honest, that we're just not good at. Some guys are good at expressing their feelings and coming into touch with their emotions. And there's other guys, they struggle with anything. Any holiday comes along, they have to express themselves. It's extremely difficult. And you know it's true in your home, and it's true in my home. There are areas, there are things in our lives, there are lacks in every single life. Both pilots fell short in some areas. All have sinned, all have fallen short. And what I'm trying to address before we really get into it this morning is Christian arrogance. That when we memorize three or four verses of the Bible and we've had an experience at the altar and we've been in an amazing worship service and we start to get this idea of our faith, but we begin to lift our nose at others and say, hey, you can't do it like I can do it. We all fall short. We all miss the mark. There are things in every person in this room where you fall short. Billy Graham, I began to read and listen to his autobiography, and a journalist sat down with him from Charisma Magazine. Maybe you've read this interview. And he began to talk about, the journalist began to talk to him about what he had accomplished. And you did this, and you ministered this way. And I remember the message that you spoke, and I remember the play. I was there at the place. The end of the conversation, the journalist said, Dr. Graham, is there any area of your life where you fell short? That you lacked in an area? And he paused and he said, I'm only old enough now to admit it. He was 90-some years old. He said, I've just come to an age at 90-some years old where he says, I'm humble enough to tell you I failed as a father. I wish I had spent the time that I knew I should have with my children. He said, I fell short being a father. If you know anything about his children, wonderful children. But he said, his own words, his own admission, he said, I fell short in this area. Every man falls short in an area. And if I could give the ladies just a little piece of advice this morning, don't remind him of where he falls short. Remind him of where he excels. Because men are drawn to praise because they are made in the image and in the likeness of God. Praise Dad today. If you brag on him, he'll do more than he did before. It's interesting. And you'll get a chuckle out of this. A man, when he brings in groceries from the house, and he's carrying all kinds of stuff, and mom and wife will look at that man and say, man, you carried a lot of them groceries in. The next time he goes out to the car, he'll wrap a bag around his head just to say he carried a little bit more. Because men are driven to do better from praise. So praise him. Every man avoids where they fall short. Every man avoids where they maybe fall a little short of the next one because they flourish in encouragement and not in criticism. Every man in this room, if you really thought about it, if you really contemplated it, the thing that they fall short in, they avoid. The thing that they struggle with, that you know that they struggle with, they avoid it altogether. Because no man wants to be reminded of where he falls short. Tell your son. Tell your dad. Great job. The same way you encourage your son, the same way you encourage your little boy, you should be encouraging your husband. You should be encouraging your father the same way, because at one point, he was that little boy. There's a little boy down in him. Have you ever felt rejected? Have you ever felt like I'm a failure? Have you ever felt like the stone that the builders rejected? That you were looked down at and looked at as less than what God had called you to? I want to talk about this morning, just for a few more minutes, a man named Jacob. This Jacob comes from this lineage of godly men. Not from a family who didn't know God, but a family who did know God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jacob had these tendencies. He was a little greedy, if you know your Bible. He was a little greasy. He was a little sly, and he didn't just lick it off the ground. He picked up these attributes from certain family members. Too much to get into today. But he had these character flaws that led him to make bad decisions. And yet, God calls this greedy, greasy, trickster of a man to do the work of the Lord. You don't have to say anything. Just look straight ahead and no one will think that you identify with that. But I think if we're being honest this morning, every person in this room could say, man, that takes a little of the heat off of me because I've done some stuff and said some stuff and thought some stuff that I thought completely disqualified me. But the more I read my Bible, what I begin to learn is that God uses those type of people. And God begins to guide and direct this less than perfect man to do the will of the Father. God has this meeting with this man on this mount called Peniel. You know the story. God meets him and begins to wrestle with him and begins to minister to him on this mountain. Begins to speak to him and tell him who he really is. He begins to change his name from trickster to Israel, which means prince. You say he had two names, Ryan. Yeah, he had two names. The thing that caught me so by surprise in this story as I read it and read it over and over and over again is that the Bible vacillates between Jacob and Israel right up to his death. Back and forth and back and forth. Jacob and Israel, back and forth. Which leads me to believe this, that we never arrive. That God is continuing to move us forward, step by step, block by block, creating a foundation within us that grows day by day. That tells me that when a man falls short, don't throw the whole man out. That when dad makes a mistake, don't throw the whole man out. That when pop makes a boo-boo, talks out of turn, acts out of turn, does something out of character, don't throw the whole man out because he makes a mistake. My first thought this morning is God is changing all of us into his image and likeness. Your dad wasn't perfect. My dad isn't perfect. Go, oh. And I'm not perfect. There is no perfect man. No such thing. And in Genesis 35, Jacob returns and God appears to him again and blesses him. God said to him, your name is Jacob. You'll no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. And so he named him. And God said to him, I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to make you multiply in number. I'm going to bring a nation out of you. When you surrender your life to Christ, when you begin to listen to God's word and submit yourself to God's way, not to a pastor's way, I'm not trying to get you to fall in love with me. Quite frankly, I'm at a point in my life where if someone's not in love with me, I'm okay with it. What I'm trying to get you to fall in love with is the Word of God. Because I know if you fall in love with that book, you'll fall in love with me. God begins to do an amazing work in this man's life. Wednesday nights, our Wednesday nights meeting, I keep going back to that because it fires me up to see 30, 40, 50 men meeting together in one place and giving God glory. How giving God glory? By changing. By being formed in his image and in his life. By being discipled. Listen, the stuff that we're reviewing, the stuff that we're reading, the stuff that we're learning, Mr. Tom will tell you, guys all over this room, it's challenging to us. It's not, we're not reading it saying, hey man, I know what you did last week. This stuff's for you. It's not for that. It's for us. We want to be changed. We want to be formed into his likeness and into his image. We want to continue to be discipled for the long term, for the long road. I want to be continually educated about the grace and love that God has for us. Jacob in this story, he has this meeting with God, and all of a sudden he begins to have a transformation, which turns into a reconciliation with his brother. When God begins to do a work with you, even when you see the guy that you can't stand, God will begin to speak his grace and his love and his mercy. You know what I'm talking about. The guy that you said you'd never talk to again, you're faced eyeball to eyeball with him. And in this story, Jacob all of a sudden sees his brother Esau from a ways off, and God begins to temper him in that moment. God begins to temper Esau in that moment. Instead of two men that were full of pride and anger and bitterness, God begins to reunite those two individuals. And that's what God does in your life. Don't say, oh man, I'm just weaker than I ever have been. I'm just a big sissy now. That's what church turned me into. No, you're being formed. You're beginning to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, in love. The things that come to your mind, you don't just splatter them out all over people to hurt them. You hold your tongue. You ask the Holy Spirit, give me the right words to speak, not my words to speak. I see it in men all over this place. They and then they don't say anything. That's the tempering of the Holy Spirit. You get in a hot moment where you just want to fire off, and all of a sudden you stop. I shared a little bit of this last Thursday night. Andrew, we were in the garage last week. And I don't share this to toot my horn. I share this to say God is working it in me. He's doing it in me. Andrew whacked his head, and he just started, like his dad, firing off at me. He said this, and he said that, and the first thing that came to me is, that boy isn't going to talk to me that way. And I felt the Holy Spirit in that moment, like lay a blanket over me. Put the fire out within me. And I heard the Lord say, don't say a word. The next morning, he came out, and he knew. God had been working in him. God had been speaking to him. He came right out in the kitchen, and he was smiling. He said, Dad, I'm sorry about last night. I'm sorry for what happened. And I just I wanted to jump up in the air and click my feet together. That's the work of God in a man and in a son. Jesus says these words to Peter. He says these words, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. A sign of conversion is strengthening the people that you're around. Loving on the people. Not picking out their weak point and saying, I know what you did. I know what you said. I know where you went. Don't you remember I was there? That's not a sign of conversion. That's a sign of arrogance. That's a sign of the work of the flesh in a life. The work and the sign of transformation in a life is love and joy and peace and patience. Jacob has this amazing moment with God. And if you didn't hear anything else I said, catch the next 5 minutes. He has this amazing moment with God. God renames him, and now he has this mission. He has this mission, and if you know your Bible, his wife is pregnant. His wife named Rachel, who he slaved for 14 years over. He's romantic with Rachel. He loves Rachel. She's the apple of his eye. He's totally in love with Rachel. You see me looking at Sam, don't you? Totally in love with her. She's pregnant and she's having difficulty giving birth. So he puts her on a carriage. He gets on a horse. And the Bible says he starts to make his journey to Ephrathah, called now Jerusalem. He begins to make this journey. He begins to make this trek because he knows if he doesn't get to this place, that her life could end and so could the baby. This journey is not in a luxury car. This journey is not easy. It's difficult with obstacles and potholes, poor transportation, and he's trying to get her there. And my second point this morning is, every man in this room is trying to get their loved one there. I hope you hear this morning, ladies. I hope you resonate with this this morning. He's trying to get his family to a destination. If I can just accomplish it by the time I'm 30. If I can just get there. If I can just get my kids and my wife there by the time I'm 40. If I can just accomplish, if I can just get the house paid off by the time I'm 60, we'll be okay. If I can just pay these credit cards, if I can just get the kids through college, if I can just help them get a job and get over to the other side, every man in this room is trying to get their loved ones over there. Trying to get your family there through difficult circumstances. Trying to get your family there when you've never been fathered. My dad, he tells a story about his dad. How do you be a father when you've never had a father? How do you walk in fatherhood when you've never seen it? It's a tough road. It's a tough journey to get over there to accomplish what God has sown into your heart and into your spirit when you've had no role model is a difficult thing. Trying to get your loved ones over there. So, Rachel is in the wagon. Do we have a wagon? Thank you. Rachel is in the wagon. Jacob is up front. I want you to follow this just for a minute. And he's up there trying to make progress. If I can just get us there. If I can just accomplish, he's trying to make progress with Rachel in the wagon not being present. There is a sense of pain that every father faces trying to make progress while not being present. If I don't keep the progress going to Ephrathah, to the holy place, to the holy city. If I can get us there, she'll be okay. It'll be, I'll get the family there and then we'll take a vacation. If I can just get the credit card paid, if I can just accomplish this one last thing, all the while hearing the love of his life. It's not that he didn't love her. It's not that he didn't care for his family. It's not that he didn't want to be in the wagon. He just couldn't be in the wagon. He couldn't be present and create progress for the family. The problem with being a dad is balancing progress and presence. I hear you back there, Rachel. But if I don't get us there, it's going to be bad. They were a little ways off from Ephrathah. A little ways off from the dream. A little ways off from the goal. A little ways off from a perfect family. A little ways off from a birth. She birthed the baby while still trying to get there. And the Bible says that they were a little ways off from Ephrathah. And you know the story. Rachel dies while giving birth. And Jacob in that moment has no choice but to dig a grave and bury what he loved but he couldn't be present for. He digs the grave. Sometimes you don't have to bury Rachel. You have to bury your dream on the way to Ephrathah. Sometimes it's not Rachel that you bury. It's your career goal on the way to Ephrathah. Sometimes you have to dig a hole and bury your pride, your manhood, your joy, your peace on the way to Ephrathah. And even though you got back on the wagon and begin to make progress back to the holy city, a part of you is buried on the road to Ephrathah. A part of you has died. Because you were trying to drive progress and couldn't be present. Now, I'm not a counselor, and I'm not a therapist, and I'm not an editor for the Daily News. It's supposed to be funny. But I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the dad in your life. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the son in your life. I'm going to tell you what happened to the man I married. A part of him on the journey died and was buried. And now he has to continue on for the family's sake, for your sake, to get there. He's thinking, how can I be the father I'm supposed to be still with everything that I buried? Because the taxes are still due, even though a part of me is dead. The life insurance is still due, even though a part of me is dead. In the place of where I fell short. And he's forced, you know the story, to rename the baby that his wife named in her pain and sorrow from Benoni to Benjamin. In Jacob's heartbreak, in his pain, he had no choice but to continue. But a part of him died on the road to Ephrathah. He buried the thing that he loved on the road. My third thought this morning, I wonder what you buried. I wonder what your dad buried, trying to get you to the holy city, to the goal. What did he bury in the midst of trying to create process? It's not always Rachel. Sometimes it's your dream. Sometimes it's your goal. And ladies, if you want to know what's happening to your father, you want to know what's happening to your husband, you want to know what's happening to your son, how many of you men have ever felt the way I'm describing right now? Lift your hand. Look around you. Part of him is buried on the road. And we know where we fell short. And the story ends there. Catch us now. The story ends. And I thought, how could he let it end here? We serve a redemptive father. How could the story end where we fell short? Then I begin to think about this place, Ephrathah, called Jerusalem. If you know your Bible, Jacob is in the line of David, which is in the line of Jesus. And if this young man had made his way to Jerusalem, they would have called him the Messiah. What are you saying, Ryan? I begin to hear the wagon wheels down the road to Ephrathah. And I remembered in the New Testament another man that took the road to Ephrathah, the road to Jerusalem. It wasn't Jacob this time, though. This time, it was Joseph on that road with Mary in the back. What I want to sow into your heart today, what I want to sow into your mind today, those that watch this later, where Jacob fell short, Jesus picked up. He finished the journey. He accomplished in you what you couldn't accomplish in yourself. He picked up where Jacob fell short on the road to Jerusalem. And Dad begins to preach this message on faith. Jesus addresses exactly what I'm talking about in the book of Matthew. The disciples go to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, why do we fall short? Why couldn't we cast this demon out? Why couldn't we accomplish this thing? Why did we fall short?" You know what Jesus says? You know why you fell short, Ryan? Because you need to increase your faith. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, the Bible says, he says, "I'll move the mountain." The mountain that you buried. The brokenheartedness that you cover up with a scowl. With the faith of a mustard seed, he'll accomplish what you couldn't, where you fell short. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name today, we've all fallen short. We've all missed it. We've all buried things in our almost place. This morning, you've spoken to our hearts. You've spoken to our spirits. You've spoken to our minds. And we ask you today, Father, for a measure of increased faith. God, that you can pick up the broken pieces of our lives, the things where we fell short, that you can take the brokenness of humanity and do so much with it. I pray for that hope in a dad. I pray for that hope in a son. I pray, God, for new faith in a home today. And your goodness, your grace, and your mercy in broken situations. Bless your people. Bless every dad today. Bless every mom, son and daughter today. Bless every family. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys so much. Happy Father's Day. Have a great day. God bless you.